This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Rex joins us right now, and Coach, let's as we always do, start locally, and let's first begin with more recently what we saw from the Giants yesterday, a defense that had been much maligned. We talked about it last week up against the Rams team, and for the most part, I feel like at least they put up a fight, but yet 0-4, you can't ignore that.
Yeah, no, you can't ignore it, but I will say this. You can't ignore the fact that defense showed up, and they started playing to the ability that they have. And that was what disappointed me so bad the previous week when they played the 39ers, as I call them. Like, they never freaking punted. So, to me, it's like, but you know what? These players, they just like, hell, we know we're better than this. And they showed it. And now we got to get Daniel Jones, quit turning the darn ball over, and we got to start producing some points in the red zone.
I mean, I think that's really what it is, but you still feel encouraged the fact that they were able to fight, you know, blown covers late in the game. But that's got to be their recipe. It looks like they had an identity. They were going to try and grind it out, keep the game close, and when they have an opportunity to make big plays, make big plays. But, you know, like we said, they're still 0-4, but they're only a game and a half out of first place. So if you
That's right, Bart.
So glass half full. Like, what can they do to kind of try and get on track to try and get some wins? As far as, and if you're the head coach, how would you try and keep the team motivated and keep that in perspective? Like, yes, we're 0-4. We feel like crap. We were in two games that we could have maybe could have went the other way. We just got to figure out how we're going to finish. How they learn how to finish some of these games and still keep things in perspective that 7-9 and 8-8 might win this division.
Yeah, and I think the big deal is have the entire focus be forward, not back. And I think if they do that, realizing that, hey, look, yeah, we spotted the league a game and a half. You don't think we can make up a game and a half? Like, holy shit, we got three quarters of the season left. Like, we're going to be right in this thing. What I was encouraged by that defense was, we play like this each week, oh, we're going to make up a game and a half. There's no question about it. There's got to be accountability too. Way too many drops by this football team. And we could blame it on Daniel Jones, whatever. But he's putting the ball in there. We got to come up with it. And it looked like to me, Golden Tate, he had a personal thing with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
We get it. But he let it affect his play. He wasn't the player that he normally is. And I saw him looking around. The concentration, the focus wasn't there. He was focused on after the game. And he can't do that. And we got to focus on all that other stuff. Look, even fighting a parking lot. But on that football field, we got to be together. We got to do our job. And you got to be sick of it. It looked like the defense was sick of it. They picked their game up. We got to do it. Every single player on that football team has to do it the same way and pick their game up. And if they do, the Giants will have a chance.
Now, Rex, before we get to the Jets side of things, because we mentioned how the division is still pretty much up for grabs, let's talk about another team in the NFC least right now, and that is the Dallas Cowboys and what we saw, what happened, what the Browns did to them in their own building. I mean, can you imagine what Jerry was going through his mind watching that in his own building, that defense just getting run through, just getting lit up the way they were lit up? What are the Cowboys in your mind?
Well, the Cowboys right now are soft as Charmin. That's what they look like to me. You've got a defense that gave up 31 points in the first half. They gave up 300 yards rushing. And look, I get it. They're throwing the ball all over the place. They're getting a ton of stats. Yeah, okay, because you're down by like four touchdowns. But they find ways to come back because they have playmakers. They have that talent at receiver. They have that talent in the skill positions. But their defense, like, holy cow. You know, and here's the other thing. You're getting two turnovers. You've Dak and Ezekiel Elliott have turned the ball over two games in a row, both in the first half. And you're digging yourself such a hole that it's hard to come out of. And that's what you're seeing in Dallas.
But you know, Zeke, that's not, you know, usually what we see out of Zeke. But whenever you ask your quarterback to drop back 58 times, you know, good things aren't going to happen. All it takes is one time, you know, you create more opportunities for those pass rushers to get there. But with that being said, what I want to kind of focus on is how do they fix the problem? And, you know, we know Mike Nolan, right? He started with us in Baltimore. You know that, he has the answers. He may not have the personnel. Or he may not have the guys with the attitude. I mean, because they have the talent. Lawrence, Alden Smith, you know, Jalen Smith, you know, they're missing Vander Esch and Sean Lee will be coming back pretty soon. That'll help a little bit. But, you know, they may need a tempo setter. And I know he's not the most popular guy in the NFL right now, but Earl Thomas had an opportunity to go to the Houston Texans. A bunch of players, has been reported, a bunch of players came and said, hey, we don't want that guy in our locker room.
Right.
But over in Dallas, you have to make a decision. Do we want to have guys get fired because we don't have a tone setter here? Or do you make the decision to bring him home where he's been begging to come play for you for the last couple of years at the right price?
Well, the only thing is he has to understand this is a team game. It's not an individual game. And for his behavior with the Baltimore Ravens, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. That's me. Now, with that being said, and you know me, Bart, I've given multiple guys opportunities that have had checkered pass, but not like this. This guy's wanting you to move practice so he can wash a truck or whatever it is. Like, give me a break. So to me, I wouldn't touch him. Now, here's the other thing. That staff, you mentioned Mike Nolan. We were together with Mike Nolan. He better have a hell of a football coach with him. I don't know who he's got on his staff. And I was there on that staff. So you don't. I can tell you this. I think I helped Mike Nolan out a little bit. I think Dennis Thurman helped him out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, does he have that kind of guy with him, the difference maker with him as an assistant coach? I don't know. You know, but I know we had it there when I was there. I mean, I'm not bragging, but hell, I am bragging. I know how good I was. But
well, you're the blitz coordinator, so maybe he can pay you on a consulting fee while you're on the set to get up.
They don't have enough money to bring me in.
I'm saying you can mail in some blitz packages.
I could probably do that, Bart. But I just think, in all seriousness, that. This isn't a one-man fix. They can bring in Earl Thomas. That's fine and dandy. But now he's going to, you know, now he's going to step in. I'll be the leader of your team. You can't lead yourself right now. So to me, don't do it. Don't do it. It's tempting as it's going to be. Don't do it. And, you know, unless this guy's got his head squared on now. If he doesn't, I would not take him. But you've got to look deep down and see, ask what your players are doing. You know, like, how can you help them? That's the first thing you do as a coach. How can I help my players and give my guys opportunities? And, you know, I think that's what Mike Nolan has to do. He's got to dig deep, man, and start with yourself. And I think that's what it'll go with. And look, they need some success, just like the Giants. The Giants looked god-awful last week, but they did something about it. You know what I mean? And now they can lean on the fact that, you know what, we did play better, and we can do this. And I think that's what Dallas needs. They need one of those moments to where they actually think you have a good feel about it. Because right now, it's all snowballing. And when you see players sit back and say we're soft, and then they threw another adjective in there before. About it, and it's a guy that you're paying about $100 million to, that's a problem.
Hey, Rex, can we follow up on what you were saying, though, about Earl Thomas and, you know, a guy that will affect, I guess all the demands that he wants. Obviously, he gets into the fight in practice. He's causing enough disruption where Baltimore just says, we're done with you. We don't want to put up with this anymore. When it comes to players, and we hear about this stuff in all different walks of life, in all different sports, where if you're that good of a player, a team will put up with some things that you will demand, and is a little, maybe sometimes it gets out of control. Is there anything you've ever had to do in your past because the player was just that good and you're like, all right, I'll do it because it's him? Like, whatever, whether it's it affects the whole team, an adjustment of some sort. Like, LeBron used to want to hold up the plane for Miami, and Pat Riley finally said, enough's enough. You either get here on time and none of your family comes on the plane, or don't be part of it. Like, have you ever had to do something because the player was just that good?
Well, Bart will tell you this. I mean, we used to laugh about it. Like, okay, is Revis on the bus? okay, let's go. And one time he was running late. I'm like, oh, let's kind of delay this a little bit.
What time does the bus leave? Whenever Ravens gets here?
Tell the rule that we had.
Maintenance issue. You know what I'm saying? It's like, got to check the landing gear.
I always wondered about stuff like that.
But realistically, though, usually your best players, like a Bart, like a Darrell Revis, like guys like that, they're usually the first ones on the bus. Like, they can't wait to go play. And, you know, so you don't have as many issues with the star players as that. Earl Thomas is not the player that people think. Right. I saw him, like, last year. Yeah, he made some plays. But I'll be honest with you, it ain't the same guy he used to be. If he was the player he was when he was in Seattle, then maybe you would make exceptions. But I think sometimes when you do that, especially in the NFL, where you have 53 guys or whatever the roster is, I just don't think it's worth it. And that's what you're seeing now is people are getting rid of problems instead of and look, as great as Hopkins is, he supposedly was wanting more, you know, a different contract, different things, missing practices, keeping himself out. And I think it just and listen, was it a mistake? Yes, it certainly was. But you don't want your best players for – you know, when your best players are your best guys, that's a championship caliber type team.
A culture. I want to go to the other side of the field because I feel like it's fascinating because it feels like Cleveland has figured out who they are and how they're going to win. You know, I always said that Odell Beckham was going to get his numbers once the offense went through Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Things were going to open up and split like the Red Sea, and we saw that yesterday.
Yeah, we did, Bart. You hit it right on the head. And the other thing, too, that we got to give Stefanski credit for is you have a short quarterback that's not very athletic. So what does he do? You move the pocket for him. You change the launch point for him. Even if it's the old boot throwback where now he's setting up over the tackle, or it's the naked boots, or it's off a play act, all these type of things helps a shorter quarterback and helps his vision down the field. And actually, it allows him to read his receivers and his routes way quicker than being a drop back quarterback does. Drop back quarterback, he's going to have smaller quarterbacks, shorter quarterbacks struggle mightily in being able to pick up defense. We had a really good one, and like I had Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod was a shorter quarterback in the middle of the field. He really struggled to see. So I know it actually exists. And what Stefanski did since week one, he never did it week one, but since that time, Baker Mayfield looks like a different guy. And you're right, Bart. It all starts with that running, that grounded pound.
It demoralizes
that opens up the play action, the nakeds, and everything else.
It demoralizes you when you're getting beat physically. And remember the lessons that we learned about Michael Vick, that the same, you know, lanes that he used to run through is the same ones that he used to throw through. So you have to move the pocket, and teams trying to distort the view by running the U games and the TE games in the middle to make the shorter quarterback struggle with their vision. So if you move the launch point, it allows you to have more vision so they can read, you know, the rotation of the safeties and know where to go with the football.
Yeah, well said.
Let's move on to the Jets. I know that was Thursday, but we haven't talked to you since. So what we see out of the Jets right now, obviously, is just getting worse and worse for this team, although you want to argue that, hey, they competed more, whatever. It was, still a loss. But I want to ask you, because now, of course, at 0-4, and with a possibility of really barely winning a game this season, if you look at the schedule, how can they, you know, what's the next win? The fans now and the media now is starting to go through the idea of maybe Sam's not the guy, and if you get the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence has to be your guy. How do you view this? Do you view this as if you get number one, you just give up on Sam? Because Bart also has brought up an idea of, or you can get a lot of assets for that number one pick. Teams will give anything, give you a ton of stuff, and then you can start really building around Sam to get him some real weapons and some more help. But which way do you think you should go?
Well, I mean, if you have the first pick, you're going to take Trevor Lawrence. There's without question. Could you trade it? Could you trade Sam? Could you trade that pick? Then absolutely you could. But I'll say this. Sam Darnold ain't the problem, dude. What I saw was a guy competitive as hell. Like, a 50-yard run, touchdown run or whatever, I'm like, good for him. He gets his shoulder hurt. It would have been easy for him to stay in the locker room. We did just the opposite. So this kid showed me as a fan, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I appreciated him. I mean, I'm just telling you. Like, I love the competitiveness, and I was like, God, dog, this dude's legit. So let's get better around him and all that. The one thing I was the most disappointed in, like we talk about, well, they were more competitive. Against Ripon, against a third-string quarterback, against whatever, and you had I just got out of the car, and I think the Jets got another personal foul penalty. Like, that's not physical football.
That's the fake tough guy stuff. Jim Swartz stuff teaching push after the pile. Like, you know, if you can't get that body blow doing it in between the whistle, then you haven't earned it. You got to earn the right to lay somebody out. But to go back to Allen's point, my pick, because I don't think Sam's the issue either. And what I was saying is, at number one, Jacksonville has two first-round draft picks this year, and they have the number two pick that they got from the Vikings, who looks like that's going to be a high number two pick, and their number two pick, which should be high. If they're willing to give up their two number ones and their two number twos, I mean, their two twos, which is going to be like in the top 40, would you move that pick and just to slide down maybe one spot or two spots to three and still get everything you want to build around Sam Darnold? So that was my ideal around that.
No, and I get where you're coming from, but I will say this. This kid from Clemson is a once-every-10-year player.
Okay.
And so now you're going to what are you going to do if you have a chance? If you have a chance to get Peyton Manning, what would you trade for him? And that's what you got to realize you're giving up. So to me, not only would you get that part of the value, somebody's going to give you at least three first-round picks for the right to draft Trevor Lawrence. It's not close. He's that good. Andrew Luck, remember when Andrew Luck came into the league?
Yeah.
This is a no-brainer, slam dunk, franchise quarterback. So what is that actually worth for you? And look, the Jets aren't going to pick first, guys. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. The Jets are way better than
it's
that.
It's going to be close.
And I keep telling you
way
that.
Better than what?
I'm telling you, they got to be better than that crap. Like, come on.
What if it's the Giants? What if it's the Giants there, too?
Then the Giants are going to draft Trevor Lawrence. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So, to me, whoever gets that first pick, there's no question who they're going to. You can turn the card in. We don't know who it's going to be. But who's going to be picking? But we damn sure know who it's going to be, and that's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
Now, you mentioned, you know, what if it was Peyton Manning? Well, remember, of course, Peyton Manning decided he didn't want to play for the Jets.
So went back to school. I hope Trevor went back to school.
Yes, he did. And you know what's funny? I think is that it still ticks me off because I was like, man, what would you give up? Everything. Because we know we're going to be in the playoffs every year. And I remember trying to recruit him, you know, trying to tell Woody and Mike Tannenbaum how I felt about it. But at the same time, you know, Eli was in town and he wasn't going to do that to his brother. And dang, I wish we would have, though.
Would have been something. Before we let you go, Rex, let me just ask you quickly about the COVID outbreak. It's, you know, obviously with Tennessee, it's a major issue. Cam Newton won't play tonight because of it, and they had to move the game. You know, you're seeing it in pockets here and there now in the league. How much of a concern is it for you about whether or not they'll be able to get through the season without anything more than what you've seen so far?
Well, it's a big concern, but you got to look at it this way. The National Football League has done an amazing job, and our players, they're the ones you got to tip your hat to. Our players, our coaches, and our organizations have done an amazing job. Yes, we had one careless team, and it blew up, and you can see. But I think this is a thing through the league where they, hey, guys, this is no BS. I mean, our president, for goodness sakes, caught COVID. So it's a possibility. What we got to do, though, is we can't – it's got to be restricted to the one or two players or two cases. It can't spread through this team. And so that's what we got to look at. Obviously, the Titans were careless in some matter, but whether – you know, we'll find out later, I'm sure, how it comes out. But we can't do it. And these players, they understand. They don't want to let themselves down. They don't want to let their teammates down. And they don't want to let us down as fans. And I think they know how important this game is to all of us, and they can't do this. And this is like an unfortunate accident, you know, or situation that happened, but hopefully we don't get too many more of these.
Yeah, hopefully it's just the wake-up call that you needed early in the season, just like Major League Baseball went through it. And then since then, it all has been good. All right, Rex, thanks as always for the time. I'm sure you'll keep one eye on the Yankees tonight, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
You Lance, know I will.
Lance Lynn.
Lance Lynn, my man. Oh, by the way, his last start, he got crushed. But other than that, he had a hell of a year.
Great stuff, Rex. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Yep, bye.
All right. I love that he did go at least to that point. Where he told us about Darrell Revis and how there are times with a star that you will sort of, you know, you'll hit that moment where you say, well, all right, we could bend a rule for this player because of who it is.
I don't care who you are.
Like, what time's the bus leave? Whenever Revis gets on it,
exactly.
That's when it leaves.
And before that, you best believe that Ray Lewis wasn't getting left for Ed Reed either. You know what's crazy? They waited for me one time, made me cry. You know what's crazy?
Made you cry.
So, man, they really like me. I was like, Mikey, he really likes it. So it was like crazy. So like we were going to play. That's the game we were going to play, the kitty cat down in Miami, right? First round, they won a division for the first time or whatever. It was Chad Pennington and all that kind of craziness. And we went down there as a wild card team. And what happened was they had it on a different time thing. Like I thought it was 12. I thought Miami was behind us in the time zone. So I thought Miami was an hour behind. So 12:30, I thought really it meant like 1:30. So I showed up, and like we got like, it's funny, man, because whenever you late on a plane or something like that, football, you late to practice, the players, as soon as they see you, they start doing this. So they make all this big attention, like, yeah. Yeah! Like, man, this is going to cost me about $5,000-$10,000. We better win, because we don't win. We're going to say, I could tell you wasn't focused, because guess what? Bart coming to the plane late. You ain't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? So we got it done, man. It was the most nervous I've ever been in my life. But, yeah, I can remember. They wouldn't leave Chris McAllister either, but they had to give Chris McAllister. I tell you what, they would find other people if Chris McAllister was late. Like, what? Why y'all didn't make sure Chris was here? You know Chris be drunk.
It's just funny how, like, you always talk about it, how, you know, if the rules are rules, and no matter who it is, if you're late. But there's certain moments where you just decide, we'll figure out a reason why we can't leave because a star hasn't shown up yet. There's always something. There's always a reason. But if you know if you're a scrub, though, that bus is gone.
And listen. And when you try and go back, your code ain't going to work. You're going to go back, try and get in the building.
That's right. But look, it's just reality. That's just how it is in sports and probably in life as well. All right, we'll get into the Yankees a little more in the final segment of the show. Something that Aaron Judge really caught my attention, what he said, which is why I feel like I said this is the big hurdle series coming up for the Yankees, and he factors in it dramatically for the Yankees. Meanwhile, we'll go around the world of sports in audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so in the NBA Finals last night, which apparently nobody's watching, not good. Game 3, and the Heat come up with a dramatic win, 115-104, as Jimmy Butler plays 45 out of the 48 minutes of this game, and he gives you a 40-point triple-double, 40, 11, and 13 assists. He was fantastic. Anthony Davis in foul trouble early, and you know LeBron leaves the court not happy. Lakers had 20 turnovers. It's just a sloppy game for them, and the Heat were making their shots, and Jimmy Butler, they were just sort of this little engine that could all of a sudden. And here's Eric Spoelstra, coach of the Heat, talking about how Jimmy Buckets saved the day.
How else do you say it other than, you know, Jimmy F and Butler? But this is what he wanted. This is what we wanted. It's really hard to analyze or describe Jimmy until you actually feel him between the four lines. He is a supreme elite competitor. And we needed it. Obviously this was a very desperate, urgent game, and he was doing it on both ends of the court, just put his imprint at every important part of the game. And, he's in the top percentile of this entire association in terms of conditioning. And you saw like, he just got stronger as the game went on.
Did you know that Jimmy Butler had this game, had that in him to do what he did last night?
I did. I didn't think he could maybe put up those totals. I mean, if you see him at 30 points, maybe don't see him with 40 points to put up those type of buckets, especially early in the process where we were saying, why doesn't he take enough shots? But without you know, Dragic was out, Bam, you know, he had to take those shots. He showed that he's more than capable. Now, he's not a guy that you're going to look at that he's so offensively creative. He's just a dog, man. Like, he's like Michael Irvin on the longest yard, man, out there with the cheeseburger, man. He's just gritty, grimy. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a grown man, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, hats off to him. You know, and just think, this thing in Miami, we all wondered when he went to Miami, like, why did this dude go to Miami? Out of all the places he went to Miami, and he's made it his home, and they've accepted him,
though.
And it's like the perfect match made in heaven, especially with him and Spoelstra, but better yet, him and Pat Riley. So I think he's like Pat Riley avatar, right? So then, you know, I think, you know, they're going to get him some help next year, get him some more explosive players, a better superstar, maybe even, you know, Giannis. You know, I know we say, oh, no, not Giannis, but you just never know. I don't put anything past Pat Riley because last time, you know, he got somebody, it was LeBron James. And it's crazy because I never heard Spoelstra.
Well, they say he just puts his rings
over.
Out.
Yeah, I never heard Spoelstra talk about LeBron like he talked about.
Interesting. You
could
say
be a little subtle shot.
But think about it, like, if you think about it, you get this team to a final, and all you have to do now is look at a superstar that could be available and say, you would make the difference of us winning a championship. You.
Yeah.
If you show up, we win the championship. Like, and that's an easy sell for a superstar. But of course, that also comes with you have to fit in here and you've got to get along with Jimmy. And we know
Matter of fact,
there's been places where guys are not comfortable playing with Jimmy because Jimmy, you know, like he comes with high demands, as we learned in Minnesota and in Philadelphia, that some of those guys don't want all that. You know, Kyrie doesn't want to run sprints in practice. Jimmy Butler will run sprints in practice.
I'm saying, to prove yourself, you might have to run 25 suicides under 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? No, he ain't going to cut it, man. You got to prove it to me.
All right, well, the Cowboys' defense has a lot to prove as they now, after getting smoked, was it 40? How many points was it? 49 points they gave up to the Browns?
49 and 39.
Jeez.
38.
So
they
after that,
300 yards,
they're giving up in the first four games 36.5 points per game. It's the worst in franchise history. And DeMarcus Lawrence has had enough. Take a listen.
In my own words, I'll call it soft. We got to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We got to play together as one. And I don't feel like we're holding ourselves accountable, including myself. So I call it soft, and we'll get better from it.
Rex Ryan said it was Charmin soft. DeMarcus Lawrence doesn't disagree. Is that their issue? It's just they're soft? It's not a technique issue? It's not a scheme issue? It's not a personnel issue? It's just they're soft?
I mean, they got enough tough guys. I'll tell you what they're going to have to do is, if I'm them, I'm importing some tough guys. Sometimes you need some goons. Can't have too many goons because too many goons, it'd be running rapid. You know, you get all these personal fouls. I got two names for you. And listen, I know I talked to Rex about the Earl Thomas thing. Okay, you don't think that's right. I got two attitude type adjusted dudes for you. Tony Jefferson, who the Ravens paid, but he blew his knee out last year, and now he's on the scrap heap. Now he's been, you know, interviewing around, but he was once considered a top five safety in his league. He's still like maybe he might be 30. And go ahead and go get snacks. Go get snacks.
He's available.
Go get snacks and go get Tony Jefferson off the scrap heap, and that is going to get you instant goon goblin stylish. You know what I mean? Because those two dudes, that they may not be able to beat you up, but they're going to keep – they're the dude that you're going to keep having to fight every day. Like, man, do I have to kick your ass again? Yup. I'm going to hurt your fist with my face.
Snacks has always been that kind of guy, too. Like the
He's
guy
a grouch.
You like having him in the locker room because he just – yeah, exactly.
You only need one grouch. He's a grouch.
Yeah. And it keeps everybody on edge. Well, we'll see what Dallas ends up doing. But DeMarcus Lawrence clearly not happy. And who do the Cowboys play next week?
Them GG.
The fighting
G-Unit. G-Unit.
All of a sudden, this game becomes very interesting.
Battle for second place.
Can you imagine? All right. So how about this? So as we talk about Adam Gase being the guy who's, I think Vegas has him as the lead of the first coach to go in the NFL. Number two would be Matt Patricia in Detroit, another Belichick disciple who is struggling. They are 1-3. The Saints scored 35 straight points against them in their win. It was 35. I mean, this game.
He's a smart guy. He got the
pencil
in his ear. Listen, I tell you what, man.
29. You have a quarterback, you've got whatever it is, but they're 1-3 and they're a mess. And he's in his, what is it, third year now, and it's still not getting any better.
Is it third? It could be fourth.
Is it? Maybe.
It seemed like
forever,
man.
I thought it was the third. Anyway, yeah, it's the third because I believe his first game was the Sam Darnold game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. So, anyways, Matt Patricia was asked basically why people should believe that he's
same gaze question. Same gaze question.
Believe in me. Why, Matt Patricia? Here's his answer.
I know we got a lot of work to do. Certainly, I think when I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do, and that's what we're trying to do. Talking about this year right now, we're talking about right now, these first four games, and obviously today wasn't good enough. I think after four games, our team can really take a look at itself and say, okay, hey, how do we need to play the games? What do we got to do? We've got some work to do during the bye week here, I think, which will be good for us to really take a look at how do we need to play going forward. And I think that's probably the most important thing from that standpoint is what do we do going forward? And how do we win?
I hate to point this out, but Jim Caldwell was 9-7 before Matt Patricia got there in consecutive years. I know that's not world beating,
but he didn't inherit trash.
He had one losing season in 4 years, and that was a 7-9 year.
Yeah, you didn't. He didn't inherit
trash. They were a mess.
He didn't inherit trash. And the thing is, whenever you guys hear somebody talking like the Mako man, you know they're trying to sell you some BS. They're talking so damn fast that he's trying to make you not be able to catch up with what the hell he's saying. But basically, he just said the same thing two different ways. But I do like his answers better than Gase, other than, this is what I do. No, bro, this is what you're doing. This don't have to be what you do, because we'll fire your ass and it won't be what you do.
He's got to clean some stuff up.
But he needs to stop it, though, because he's had three draft cycles himself to change his team and his image. And his image ain't good. And I tell you what, man. I'm concerned with him because, listen, I'm from Detroit. I watched Patricia gain about 50 pounds, man. And he at Coney Island, and he drinking Verner's, and he at Lou's Deli, man. You need to calm down, man. Got to get spry. Don't let Detroit – listen, Detroit is the fattest city in the world outside of Houston. And it's only because Houston's bigger than – listen, you will go there and gain a body. Stay out of Coney Island, man. Leave them chili cheese dogs alone. Leave Lou's 2-pound Reuben sandwich alone.
All right. Let's
get
move
back
on
to coaching,
to
man.
Last but not least. So things didn't go well in the Washington football team game versus its local rival, Baltimore Ravens. You think the Ravens had a chip on their shoulder?
Yeah, they were
My
pissed off.
Goodness. So, but still, there was a touching moment at FedEx Field yesterday with at the field. Now, you know Ron Rivera going through the cancer battle.
Yeah.
So Rivera's wife, Stephanie, and members of the team placed 450 cardboard cutouts of Rivera's family and friends in the stands for the game against the Ravens. So you can see that all around him, and players were wearing, this was the crucial catch game. Players are wearing Rivera strong shirts and everything. It was, obviously it was emotional for him. So he was on Good Morning America, and Ron Rivera talked about what that meant for him.
It means a lot because, when I first was diagnosed, I was angry. Mm. And then as I've kind of gone through this, it's always kind of, well, why me? But as, people have reached out and have talked to me and have given me their examples or just sent their well wishes, it helps push me forward. And I think that's so important because, when you go through something like this, you need a support system. And when you have the right type of people pushing you, man, I'll tell you what, it really helps to get your momentum going forward.
Now, again, he missed practice Wednesday and then left practice Thursday because of the side effects that he's dealing with from chemotherapy. He's still sort of going through this. Obviously, right. Jack Del Rio's been trying to take the lead role, which is important to have a guy on the staff who's been a head coach, of course. Right. But still, for Rivera coaching through this thing, it's not easy trying to rebuild that franchise and what they've been through. But you have to admire Rivera here at this point, and what a touching moment that was, aside from what happened on the scoreboard.
I mean, you have to, man. My heart goes out to anybody that's dealing with cancer, as I believe this is Cancer Awareness Month, or it's coming up in October, and you'll start to see the pink, and you'll start seeing the NFL players use their platform for something good like cancer research and raising money for cancer. Shout out to the NFL, who always does a great job, and all the sports league that do a great job using their platform to try and help a good cause. But Ryan understood that this is going to be a tough challenge. But what I found out with, Chuck Pagano went through this as well.
Yep.
Chuck was with us in Baltimore, and it's a tough thing. But they almost gather strength in being a part of that support system, even the days in which they struggle. The fact that they have that encouragement. I've been around, O.J. Brigance when, the ALS set in and he revealed to us and you watch him deteriorate. But the fact that he's around us gives him, you know, that's right. A safe place, his happy place. So, you know, from what I gather, people that's dealt with cancer in my time, spending time with St. Jude, they want to be treated normal, have as much of a routine as they can have, because it's all about how your spirits are. You know, so I think that was a tremendous that the Redskins and Ron's wife did that for him. Mm-hmm. And it gives him power to push through the tough days.
No question about it. And we obviously wish him the best.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, last minute, like, scrambling here, putting this lineup together as, I mean, we're dead serious about this. We want to make some money off this, so we were actually arguing which way to go. So, first of all, for tonight, lunch money-wise, Bart, you still have a game. I suck at this.
Hun.
I think it's horrific so far. I'm like 3 in a million, so if you know, I'll basically just, you know, pick against whatever I say, it'll work out for you. But Bart, right now, you still have the Falcons and the 7.5 points tonight, don't you, in Greenville?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so you still, important things riding on tonight's game for you. Our lineup, however, will be this. As we'll do a full lineup, and we're going heavy Falcons here because we're all rooting for Bart. Matt Ryan's our quarterback. Aaron Jones, our running backs, with Brian Hill as well. So that game, obviously, heavy in the running backs for us. We'll go Sammy Watkins at wide receiver, Calvin Ridley at wide receiver, so there's a third Falcon. Julio Jones, there's your fourth Falcon, is part of our wide receiver as well. Travis Kelce will take a tight end. Our flex, N'Keal Harry. And then our defense will take the Patriots because we believe in Bill. And also because it fits financially for us.
Which is always the key, right?
Which is also important, too, when you're putting this stuff together. So that's what we've got going on tonight in what's going to be a busy night, a doubleheader of NFL. You'll have the Patriots-Chiefs games, which is moved. Remember, no Cam Newton for the Patriots tonight. It's a 7 o'clock. CBS will carry it. And then just before 9 o'clock, you'll get on Monday Night Football, the typical Monday Night Football, you will get the Falcons at Green Bay at Lambeau. And an important game, obviously, for Quinn and the Falcons. So that's happening. And then, of course, you have the Yankees. And that is game one of their ALDS series. Ooh. It's a best of five, don't forget, against the Rays, 8 o'clock, TBS. We'll have the coverage. But we also have the radio coverage right here on 98.7 ESPN. K-Show leading into Carlin, leading right into the game. No reason to change the channel. But I want to read for you, Bart, a quote from Aaron Judge, talking about exactly what I've been saying. Remember, this game is going to be played in San Diego. So it's every day there'll be a game of this series. So there's no off days, and they're playing in a neutral site, basically, in San Diego. So this is just going to be about the stars that show up. There's no other factors here whatsoever. And Aaron Judge for the Yankees has got to show up. I've been saying it. He knows it, too. In fact, listen to this quote from the Post. He said, "I think about it every day, to be honest." Him talking about 2017, just missing. 2018, losing in the DS. 2019, again, just missing. Okay, he has been feeling this the last couple of years. He said, "It's something I don't think I'll ever let go until we have a chance to win a championship. That fuels me. I hate losing. Anytime I think about past years, getting kicked out of the playoffs, the next one stings as much as the one before. That's what motivates me," end quote. Remember, he's the guy that after winning game two, walking around Fenway in 2018,
New York.
Had the boombox playing Frank Sinatra. Right. And that became a thing for the Red Sox after they ended up just destroying the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. So this is something where he feels it too. But Bart, I feel like for Aaron Judge, this series is critical for him in his, whatever he's going to be in the history books of the New York Yankees. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he has a contract coming up, and they have to make some decisions because he hasn't been able to be healthy. But he can say, "Hey, I haven't been healthy in the last couple of years, but when you needed me the most to get us over the hump to win this championship, I was right here, and I put us over the top." Remember, the same way that Cespedes was retained and got his money because how he showed up and showed out to get them to the promised land, Judge has to put this team on his back. And no matter if the other guys don't show up or not, he's got to be enough. He's got to be the star. He's got to be the best player in this series for them to win and go to the next level, and he needs to be able to be the reason why they finally can walk down.
Canyon of Heroes.
Canyon of Heroes.
That's what matters. That's when you be. You know, again, they say you earn your pinstripes. I mean, you really don't earn your pinstripes. You don't earn your place in Yankee history until you do that. That's what matters the most in Yankee history. So, you know, the almost getting there and the memories of, well, you know, a home run in the ALDS or whatever, that's all nice, but you got to get the ring at the very end for him. And for him, that's what everybody's going to judge him on. Again, watch tonight with Blake Snell. Watch the curve and the slider low and away. Watch the four-seamer up in the zone. And can he time it right? Can he read it right? And can he lay off those low and aways? Because it kills the righties. And that's how Blake Snell gets you. His miss rate on those low and away, the curve and the slider, that's what gets you. So they all end up in the tunnel coming right at you, and then the four-seamer stays high, and the rest of them drop out, and can Aaron Judge lay off? Because when he is susceptible to that. Stanton is always going to – I mean, he can't help himself with that low and away. He can't help himself. But Judge, if he can see it and he can time it and he's got the scouting report down, whatever it is, he could send it a long way, and we know it. But Blake Snell, it's not easy to – you don't hit him hard. Yeah. So you want to see what he can become in this series. But you got the white whale tonight. You got Garrett Cole. You got to believe you've got your chance. And I'll remind everybody again, Bart, how important tonight's game is. It's not a must-win, is it? Because game one, historically, in a best of five, 72% of the time when you win game one, you win the series. Yeah. That's how important tonight is. So – we'll be watching, we'll be listening, and I'll be a little nervous but excited because we have playoff baseball to continue to watch. Bart,
yes!
Great job today. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.